Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in on a Saturday night, 10:13 by my watch here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome into the Fightful YouTube channel for the AEW Collision post show here on the 8th of February already. The gang is all here. The Trios champs are ready to rock. Rick Uccino, Iridium Fiero, and Crested the Star. Ladies, how we doing this fine Saturday evening?
Doing great. Chilling. It's a little chilly in Chicago, but I'll get over it.
If you think it's chilly in Chicago, let me tell you about the snowstorm here in New York City. Yikes. How about you, Rick? Are you cold, warm? Is it snowing where you're at?
I'm always cold anymore, but we've done that thing where in Cincinnati where we had like our one day of fake spring where it was like 60 degrees for a day and then it immediately dropped back down to like 20. Now we're hovering around like 32 or so. This is why people get sick all the time here, is because the weather can't make up its damn mind what it wants to be. So soon we're going to have fake spring too, and then we'll get another snowstorm, and then, you know, eventually we'll hit actual spring at some point. We'll see how things go. We appreciate everybody joining us here on the show tonight. I promise we're going to talk wrestling for the rest of it. That is the conclusion of the weather conversation for the evening. Unless you want to send in a super chat or a humper chat about that, make sure to get those in. We'll make sure to read those throughout the entirety of the show before we sign off tonight. I have got the super chats monitored. Iridian is on the hump beat tonight. We are ready to rock and roll, so get those in. Like Alexander Fitzgerald here, we always appreciate the support, saying great Dynamite this past week, solid Collision tonight. It is nice to finally have a good week of AEW programming. Ladies, I do feel like things are turning around a bit from a TV quality standpoint. I'm going to say the last couple of weeks, Iridian. I think the last few weeks even. I think things have started to pick up a bit.
Yeah, I think it's a fresh year, and I think AEW is seeing that, and they're like, you know what, let's start, you know, we got to build our storylines for the pay-per-views, we really got to get going, and I think we're seeing that in the programming, especially on Collision tonight, because we got some really, really good stuff, and shout out to the ladies, I can't wait to talk to Cresta about it, I mean, you too, Rick, but I feel like it's going to be so good, like, I was just so excited. I'm like, oh my God, Cresta to talk about Harley, to talk about Thunder Rosa, to talk about Megan. Like, it's going to be so good. I'm so excited.
Yeah, Collision, even from Dynamite this week, I thought was up overall. And even the things I want to complain about, because my favorite thing to do is complain, I was still genuinely sports entertained by. And I have to say, I'll give it to AEW. There's a lot of people who are, this is the most interesting Ricochet has been since I've started watching wrestling. And I don't care if it's because he's astronomically corny. It's fantastic. It is what it is. It is what it is. And even a hot take, even this Max Caster in his bum-ass Baron Corbin moment, I kind of live.
Not the broke Baron Corbin.
She got giving? A point.
Is that not what it's giving? Please tell me that's not what it's giving. I'll call you a liar. I don't want to do that.
I mean, this dude can't even talk. Like, he's just like, and we'll get to it. But that man, like, thanked Lexi, like, twice just for, like, mentioning the fact that he's trying to do something, right? Just like, I got this open challenge that's going on. Thank you for mentioning that. And thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, it is very bum ass Baron Corbin esque. So it's been nice. Tony P chiming in with a super chat saying they're making Collision must watch. Also, the show seems like it's time for the ladies to shine here a little bit. It seems like the women are getting more live promo time, and this is one of the things that, you know, we collectively, the three of us, have talked about off air. It's like you have such a stacked women's division, Iridian. It's like, if you're, and it's honestly, many of your marketable stars are there as well. Like, why aren't you leaning into that more? And all of a sudden, Tony Khan is leaning into that more, and it's really nice to see.
Yeah, a lot of things are starting to click. You know, we were hesitant when Toni Storm was not the champion anymore, and then they weren't giving Mariah anything, and it seemed like they weren't really setting anyone up, right? But now you got Thunder Rosa back in the picture. You got Penelope Ford back in the picture. You brought back Megan Bain, who looks phenomenal, and I know she can absolutely destroy everyone. She doesn't have to talk. I get it, right? We get the point.
Why talk when you can kick ass?
Exactly. Exactly. So it just feels like there's just so many things that are clicking right now. And I'm excited. I think this is going to be a year for the women. Harley Cameron, I know we're going to talk about her later, but she's just doing her absolute best work. And Rick, I know you've said this about her before, but she is phenomenal, fantastic. And I'm so glad that they're finally using all of the talents that she has, because she's funny. She can sing. She can play instruments. She's a ventriloquist. She's literally a Renaissance woman. Shout outs to her.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I've had the chance now to tell her all of that twice, because I talked to her again this week for Sports Illustrated. That that interview is available now. You can check out my X page at Rick Uccino and get all the links there. And we talked about her origins of her her puppetry, and how honestly it was a medical condition. She lost her voice back in the day, and like, her training to get over that helped her and made things a lot easier to dive into the her master puppetry. If she starts calling herself the puppet master on television, I am going
10 out of 10.
Like, seriously, 10 out of 10. It's the marketing right there. I might have to shoot her a message and be like, you need to start doing that. But she is spectacular. She's great. Check out that interview again. You can find it on my X page. Let's dive up at the top here, ladies. We get the opening segment. You could kind of tell they were setting something up, because it felt like Tony and Nigel were kind of stalling as they were going through their opening spiel, the opening lineup here. And then all of a sudden we just see a grown man's body fly across the screen as Marina Shafir just yeeted that man. John Moxley gets in the ring. He says, hey, we'll start the show when I decide that we're going to start the damn show. And he starts running down Adam Copeland. He says, look, there's 1,000 reasons why I won't give Cope an AEW world title shot, but he'll stick with the simplest one here. And it's he doesn't like the man. Plain and simple, doesn't like the man. He doesn't know anything about AEW. He doesn't know how to succeed in this company. He's not going to give Cope a shot at the AEW championship. But if he wants a fight anywhere, anytime, he can get it. It can be in the Marriott parking lot. It can be in Toronto. It can be in Cincinnati. It could be in Ashland. Or it could be in Australia, and he tells him to go get his stupid friend Jay White and meet him at Grand Slam next Saturday. I feel like this match already was already made official. At least I thought it was, but I guess now it's officially official. I guess this was him coming out and just saying, "Yeah, well, yeah, okay, screw it. Let's throw down. I decide when I'm going to do shit around here."
Yeah, and it's so crazy because is this a title match? Confirm, deny? It's just,
I don't know. No, tag match.
It's just, tag match. Just a regular match. I was like, okay.
It's Mox and Claudio against Cope and Jay White.
I feel like Cope is going, it's just so weird calling them that. But I think
wrong.
The end game would be Cope and Mox for that, right? But
yes.
I don't know. I feel like this feud is just a little dull for me, in my opinion. I just don't know. I feel like I've been wanting them to do more with Marina, and they really haven't showcased her. And I feel like also the Death Riders are just in a limbo of like, all right, I think it's gotten stale. And what they're one of the acts, I know the year just started, that I think they're one of the acts that needs to just pump it up just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Yuta's in the process of growing out his hair. He's going for the Takeshita look this year. 10 out of 10. I approve of it. But, you know.
He's going through a phase. Yeah,
yeah, he's going through a phase, Dad. he's going through something. So we will be supportive of that. But yeah, it's just like, okay, sir. What a way to start off the show. I get it, Mox. You run the show. But then what? That's what I'm thinking. I don't know if that made any sense.
For the longest time, I have believed, Krista, that Jon Moxley is one of the best promos in all professional wrestling, right? The you believe him. You can feel the passion. I just don't know if it just seems like there's something missing when he speaks these days, like this last run here after the whole Bryan Danielson stuff, like this kicked off great, but you know, once Danielson was out of the picture and there was kind of that lull there for a little bit, and he's working with Orange Cassidy and now he's working with Copeland. I don't know. I just don't feel that same energy and passion out of him. Am I misreading that? Is it just me or is anybody else feeling that right now?
I think that the problem is more of an AEW issue where they have a really hot opening first angle. And then after that program is done, sometimes it falls off a cliff. And all three of us have been complaining as far as the Death Riders is concerned. You come out and you say you run this show, but then what? I think Cope is a good idea, but having this tag match, if it's a way to get them on the Grand Slam card in Australia, sure, you know what? I'll take it. I accept it. Not mad at that. However, I do think that the issue here is okay, you're going to beat them up. Okay, then what? Like, you beat up FTR, and then what happened? Like, you beat up the Rock and Roll Express, and then what happened? Like, you beat up Yuta. At least Yuta joined the club. You know what I mean? Like, there needs to be something more to it, and it's not the death. I don't know who to blame. I got my guns out. I don't know who to blame. Do I blame the guns? Do I blame Tony? Do I blame them? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, they're good players. It's just that there's something missing. Like, there's a piece
something's
of
not
missing.
Clicking.
You didn't put the bay leaf in the water for your roast, and we can tell.
Not the bay leaf.
That's a good analogy because it's fine, but something's off. Like, there's not enough salt.
Yeah. I'm not like, and full disclosure, I got a splitting headache right now. So like, I can't pinpoint exactly what it is, and I might be talking out of my ass a lot tonight, but yeah, something is not clicking. Something's missing. I don't know if it's a bay leaf or what, but something is missing right here. I keep hoping that this will kick it up into the next gear, and it just hasn't gotten there yet. Maybe it will at Grand Slam. To be fair though, Mox did say, you know, I might break this dude's neck next weekend, and then there will be no next. He's just going to be done at that point. So we'll see if he decides to follow through. We had a trios match to start things out. Actually, we had a trios triple threat. It was Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong. They defeated Daniel Garcia, Daddy Magic, Cool Hand Ange, and Shane Taylor Promotions in this triple threat match. This one was hard to keep track of, but damn, these guys. There was never a spot in this where I felt like the match wasn't in full control. If that makes sense, it felt like the pieces were all moving and they were working and they were interweaving. And you had no idea who the hell the legal person was, but it was just one move after another, all nine of these guys just hitting their spot and taking their shine and hitting everything. And there was never like a moment where I'm like, oh damn, this was a giant cluster. It wasn't, it was seamless. It was very, very smooth. Ultimately, Adam Cole gets alone in the ring with Carly Bravo, drops him with the boom, and picks up the win. And then we get more Death Riders after that as Claudio Pack and Iridian's boy Wheeler hit the ring. They attack Adam Cole. Claudio said it was time for the Death Riders to remind everybody who the best trio is in AEW. And immediately, Iridian, I'm just like, thank you. Jesus Christ. They remembered they're the trios champions. Holy hell. I thought this was a great match and a great step forward because I'm like, this better be leading to Undisputed Kingdom and the Death Riders. And damn, we're getting it real quick because we're getting it on Wednesday.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for this one. And this was a great opening match. I think that it showcased all of the three teams very well. Danny Garcia picked up Shane Taylor, which that alone, I was like, oh my God. Like, that was so good. You had these little moments of just, you know, Daddy Magic, when he went on to commentary to commentate during his match, I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. And everybody was loving him. They were absolutely just doing a great job building up that title that Danny has. And they kept saying it on commentary, like, oh, you know, everybody's after this title. And I was like, dang, all right, everyone wants to throw hands at Danny. I don't know, we were at that point, but I'm not mad at it because it builds up Danny Garcia and that championship that he has. So I'm really glad that this was the opening match. But man, words of advice for Wheeler Yuta, you gotta leave the group. Okay. I know you have
to get out, girl.
It's time. And honestly, he was alone in the ring for like 1 minute, and next thing you know, he's in an ankle lock. So yeah,
they're never gonna love you like you love them. All right. It's just not gonna happen. You're never gonna feel that warmth and that reciprocation. It's just not gonna happen.
Exactly. They're kind of weighing him down, if you ask me, but that's just me. So he should leave. He should leave the group. I think he can do better things, bigger, better things.
Preston, what'd you think of the opening contest and the post throwdown here to set up our Trios Championship match on Wednesday?
I have to say, the three amigos of Daddy Magic, Cool Hand Ange, and Daniel Garcia are so over. And shout out to this crowd. This Texas crowd tonight, HOTTOGO. They were hot to go tonight. They were loud for every match. Even if it was bad, I couldn't tell. Because these guys are like, I'm here for it. I'm cheering, baby. We're cheering. This match was fine. I'm glad that the Death Riders reminded us that they're the trio champions, because I too had forgotten. So
we forget every week.
I won't be
we
mad.
Literally forget every week.
If the Undisputed Kingdom takes it off of the Death Riders, because I think the Death Riders are in this weird position, like, yeah, I may critique it, like, what are you guys doing? But they're kind of untouchable, so if they lost it, it wouldn't take anything away from them, and that match is going to be so good. That being said, I anticipate the Death Riders beating Undisputed Era. I mean, Undisputed Kingdom, sorry, wrong program.
That one, you good. I did like the fact, though, like, later on in the night, we get that backstage interview with, you know, the Death Riders, and Pac like kind of gave the storyline answer for them. You know, they retconned the fact that they forgot that they were the Trios champions, and by they I mean the AEW creative team, and they just said, he's basically, hey, finally there's a Trios team with the balls to step up to them. Hey, we welcome the challenge. We've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for an actual Trios team to even dare step on our front porch. Yeah, we'll take you on. So at least they, like, in their own way, acknowledge the fact of, yeah, we've kind of been neglecting these for a hot minute. We got a super chat here from Michael Allen Lewis. Says, you're not wrong, Iridian. The D Riders are officially the Boar Horsemen.
That's a good pun.
That is disrespectful at its finest. I'm not gonna lie, but You want to call Pac one of the Boar Horsemen? Have at it. I ain't going to do it.
I'm not telling him to his face. I'm going to laugh in private. I'm going to do this.
Already, do you think there's any chance that we get a title change on Wednesday?
I really don't. Because you know what my immediate thoughts were when Adam Cole was like, you picked the wrong trio. And then Roddy comes out. I was like, Roddy? Roddy's the one that's gonna be like the savior of the group. No shade to Roddy, love Roddy, but like the Undisputed Kingdom itself, I can't get on that train. I really can't. Like, I love Adam Cole, love the Boom, Kyle O'Reilly, 10 out of 10, but I'm just having a hard time believing that they are like fantastic without Bobby Fish. Like,
who? It was free. It was on the floor.
Don't worry. But yeah, it's just like, we got to, honestly, the Undisputed, we got to let it go. We got to.
Sounds like you got something against the Messiah, the Backbreaker there. You know, it's just, you know, it sounds like you got beef with Roddy.
I might.
I might. I know what you're saying. There's like there's something missing. Maybe you forgot to put the bay leaf in again. Maybe it's the carrots, the potatoes. You forgot the garlic. Something's missing. And
is Bobby Fish the bay leaf?
I mean, where's the lot?
How many food puns can we fit in before the end of this? For the end of the show tonight, we'll see.
But get fitting this food in my mouth.
But it is it is crazy because, you know, when Adam wasn't in the group, we were like, this is what they're missing. Undisputed Kingdom is missing Adam Cole, baby. And now that Adam Cole's in there, I think he is the, you know, he's the leader of that group. It makes a lot of sense for him to be the lead of that faction. But I just, maybe it's the creative. Maybe I'm just not for the story. I feel like Roddy was 10 out of 10 when he was working his little heel in the wheelchair with the neck brace. And
that
he was
so good.
Like,
that was the worst best.
He was so over. Like, I was like, yes, that's the Roddy. That's the comedic timing that we need.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
And maybe it just needs a little bit of comedy. Maybe it just needs something. I don't know. But absolutely, can they wrestle? 10 out of 10. But they're not beating the Death Riders. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, I think they, you know, they kind of had their own issue, kind of like with, you know, the Death Riders after they had like it got off to a great start and then it kind of fell off. They're kind of in recovery mode after everything that went down with Adam Cole and MJF. And that was such a white hot, you know, program there for a while. And then injuries and everything else kind of derailed it. And I feel like they have been steadily trying to recover ever since. And I think part of it is like, we don't know also where, you know, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett are right now. They have kind of complete, like you have Undisputed Kingdom without the Kingdom. And you know, even Rafael Garcia is like, so quick question, where are they? I don't know. I do believe, I heard Sean, he either reported it on Fightful Select, best $6 in the business, by the way. So make sure to subscribe if you haven't already. He either reported the fact that they were never really supposed to be part of the whole Undisputed Era reunion tour thing, or he said that on a post show. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's the fact they need Wardlow to come back. I'd like to see Wardlow back in the mix. Maybe they remember, if he's healthy, obviously, maybe they remember that he was part of that as well. There's just been so many things that have gone wrong with this reunion tour that I think they're just struggling to kind of get back into the flow of things. And I think, again, it's hard to overcome that when so many people have just kind of wash their hands of something and say, hey, we're ready for something else now because this went down. And so they're trying to build back up the momentum again. And I think that might be part of the problem. I do think they win on Wednesday, by the way. Somehow, I think we're getting a title change. That's just my bold prediction. Okay, we got bum ass Max Caster backstage being interviewed by Alicia Toot. Said if Hangman or Hang Person, Adam Page, if Hangman Adam Page wants a piece of the best wrestler alive, he'll have to get in line. He's got another open challenge that he's going to issue this Wednesday on Dynamite. Aridian, he's definitely giving off the vibes of the teenager who feels like he knows everything. And he's going to go out and leave dad's home and excel on his own. And then like after a week, he's got laundry piling up and he can't pay his bills and he's got nowhere to stay. And he's wants to just knock back on the door and say, please, daddy, take me back. I feel like he's giving off those kind of vibes. He's missing Anthony Bowens and daddy ass big time on this one. That's the vibes I'm getting.
I'll tell you what, it's working for this man. Because the moment where he's like, hang person, I said, hang it up. I almost want to change the channel. Hang it up. That's what you should do. I almost want to change the channel, sir. How dare you talk to Hangman Page like that? And he's like, oh, I was just interrupting him because I'm the greatest wrestler and people want to know about the greatest wrestler. And the fact that he was like, oh, haha, Lexi, ha, Alicia, ha, thank you so much. And I'm like, do you need cue cards, sir? I was so frustrated just even listening to that backstage segment of his. So if I'm frustrated, I'm sure everyone else is like, dude, call it, wrap it up. So if we get a couple more weeks of this, he could be the heelest heel of AEW, honestly. He just got to put in the work in the ring and it's going to add up. And 10 out of 10, you got yourself the next heel of 2025 for AEW. I truly believe that.
Cresta, the irony is not lost on this, right? When he was trying to be good, everybody was screaming how bad he was. Now he's trying to intentionally be bad, and we're on here talking about how good he is.
Professional wrestling, baby. Let's go. I mean, honestly, I've been very critical of Max Caster. This was incredibly fucking cringy. Let me be clear here. However, I don't see it as the biggest heely heel. This is how you book yourself into a baby facer. After a while, people are going to be like, hey, yo, I kind of feel bad for you. I feel bad for this guy. Because even me, who was an avid Baron Corbin hater, began to feel like, yo, get this man a new shirt. Like, hey, yo, I feel it. Shave your head, man. This is sad. It's cringy right now. I won't lie. I muted this. I was like, I can't. I'm going to throw up. But like, I get it. I see the vision and I kind of live. I see sometimes you got to be so bad that is good because he's a good wrestler. But, you know, I'm the greatest wrestler alive. You know, you can't do a tumble. I don't know. I see the eventual. Yeah, yo, I feel bad for Max Caster. Knock it off. Yeah, give this man a title shot. Stop it.
You know, like this isn't a report. Like, this is just pure speculation. But it wasn't that long ago that Baron Corbin was backstage in AEW. Like, it would not surprise me if these two had a conversation and Max Caster just like set up his entire plan for what he wanted to do with this. Like, it genuinely would not surprise me if that's what happened. I could be way off. I could be totally wrong, but it just like the moment you said that, Cresta, it feels very bum ass Corbin. I'm like, why? Yes, it does. And then my brain, even though it's splitting in half at the moment, I'm starting to put the pieces together. Super chat here from Jess Ricardo saying, hello, my lovelies. He's talking to y'all. I'm at work. We'll see you afterward.
Rick, you are also a lovely. How dare you talk about yourself like that?
Look at your mustache, Rick. I can't even grow a mustache anymore. I hit puberty. I mean, reverse puberty.
I was going to say that yeah, no, that's the opposite of what happens in that situation. How great was it to see not only Bandido return tonight after what did Tony Schiavone say over 600 days this man has been out injured?
It's felt like it, honestly.
Jesus. First off, looks jacked. Looks incredible. The match he had tonight was excellent. And not only did we get Bandido back, but we got the Bounty Hunter back tonight. Brian Keith coming out, you know, still with the Bad Apple gimmick and the music and everything, but he was back out as the Bounty Hunter tonight, which made the aesthetics, Iridian, of this matchup so perfect. Where you had the Bandit and the Bounty Hunter, and they're going one-on-one. The spot that they did where they literally came up and did the 10 paces out and then came back and they both gave each other claymores. Like, I know this is an AEW show, but let's be honest, it was the fucking claymore kick. That's what those guys hit. And they hit it perfectly. Like, I'm just sitting here, I'm watching this match. I'm not even taking that many notes. I'm just like, 10 out of 10. This is perfect. Like, this is absolutely, absolutely perfect.
I'm glad we're on the same page with this. I also have no notes because I was too entertained.
She was supposed to say.
I was sports entertained for tonight. And man, I was so excited to see Bandido back. And we got to see Brian Keith, OG look as the Bounty Hunter. And I hope we're done with Jericho. I honestly, like, that's it. That's
yeah, yeah. Don't worry. He'll be back. He'll be back swearing and done. Being censored next, on Wednesday.
Done deal with that, because this Texas crowd was all about this match. And I popped big with that moment that you mentioned. They're back to back. They kind of look at each other and they know. And then they just start walking. I was like, oh, this is so good. And the audience was on their feet. I'm glad that they did like the zoom out so you can kind of see everyone in the stands. It just looks so cool. And just that kick that they hit, and they're eventually laid out in the ring together. Man, just what a great match. I could literally see these guys do a best of three, best of seven. I need a ladder match. Just take my money. Take my money. I need to see it all.
We had Michael Allen Lewis say, Brian Keith was amazing with a capital A. Do you see TK? Please get him away from Jericho. Please, all caps, 3 exclamation points. Cresta, do you agree with that sentiment?
I agree. My only complaint about this match is I want my cowboy stable. Hangman Page, Bandito, and Brian Keith. And those should be your trios champions.
Yeah,
those
should be your 2LT photo is with you. He's with you. Just need hanging.
Some real
just
cowboy
need hang
shit.
Person Page. That ready to rock and roll. Keep getting those super chats in and the humper chats in, guys. Ready? We have any humper chats? We good on that?
Nothing updated here. It's all super right. chats tonight.
All right. Roll. Keep rolling them super chats in. But you want to talk about sports entertainment, Cresta. That was this match in a nutshell. This match was really fun.
So good. I'm glad to see Bandito back. I think again that there is a magic, even if you don't do the cowboy route. Brian Keith, this crowd, they said this was his hometown. He's so good. He was so good the first time he debuted. And honestly, cowboy, because that could be your first Undisputed Kingdom match right there. That'd be hot. So
Yeah, I look, I'm with you. A lot of people in the chat right now. Trios chance. I think Van Twinblade's talking about us, by the way, because this came in earlier. So I think he's talking about us. Okay. But Brian Keith does not need Jericho. He should have been with Bandito and Hangman as a counter to the Death Riders. So
in the Texas Death Match,
cue the Walker Texas Ranger music. Cue it.
I mean, look, it makes a lot of sense. That's all I'm going to say. It makes a lot of sense. See, I'm kind of in the minority because I think Brian Keith's role with, the Learning Tree is funny in its own way, where he's, hyping up Jericho and he's just constantly swearing and constantly getting, censored. Like, I don't mind, his role in the Learning Tree and the creative for it. Because it's supposed to be intentionally cringe, right? And they're supposed to be heels, and they're supposed to be hated, and I get all that. And tonight, he was universally loved because his match was badass, and everybody wanted to see the Bounty Hunter back. So maybe there's something to that, and maybe there's a way that they can pivot. My big thing is, with him in the Learning Tree, he's only there to eat pins. So, that's my problem with Brian Keith as part of the Learning Tree, is, I don't see the elevation for him, because if anybody's eating a loss in that group, it's him more often than not. I haven't looked at the stats to see if that's true, but I don't remember. I don't recall Big Bill or Chris Jericho taking a lot of pinfalls or submitting a whole lot recently when they lose matches. I think more often than not, it's Brian Keith. We got Michael Allen Lewis chiming in again. Wonder if Maria Kanellis leaving the company has anything to do with the absence of Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. I don't know. I'm not even going to begin to try to speculate on that, but I can honestly, it's not a long leap to make on that one. But again, I'm not going to speculate on any of that. By the way, it's been so long since we saw Bandito. I forgot how effing awesome the 21 Plexus as a finisher. Again, just absolutely spectacular. Glad to see him back. We had Powerhouse Hobbs backstage getting interviewed by Lexi Nair. He said he's going to be in Texas all week long. He'll be looking for a fight from Big Bill. He wonders if Bill is a big redwood or just a big baby. Damn it, I wanted him to say bitch. But I guess that's Okada character infringement at this point. Can't do that, but I don't know. There's just something already about Hobbs calling somebody a baby that I'm just like, you wouldn't say baby. You wouldn't. You're a big ass grown man, big meaty meat man. You ain't saying baby in that situation.
Not the big meaty meat man. it's not believable. Like Hobbs, you could have said it. You could have, and you didn't. So you get a point off.
It just doesn't, when they try to censor themselves, right? It just doesn't hit as hard. right? In that situation.
Exactly. Like Lance Archer tonight was like, everybody dies, you know, backstage in his segment. Like, I was like, yes, I believe it. Everybody dies. So if Hobbs would have came in here and said the B word, I would have been like, yes, not me.
Not you censoring yourself. Oh, my God.
It would have been good. It would have been good. But minus 1 point for tonight.
Are we overreacting, Krista? Or
maybe, but it's wrestling. So what?
Okay, fair enough. All right, Aridia, I'm going to need you to say it again. How do you say LFI?
La facción ingobernable.
Thank you very much. They defeated Aries Alexander, Jay Alexander, and Brick Savage in a trios match. This was just a straight squash that saw Roosh beat Aries with the horns. I'll say this much: like this team that they beat tonight, they didn't look like a
team.
Well, they didn't look like a team, but they didn't look like pushovers either. Like they look like boys who could go in the ring, right? So it like this wasn't like, hey, let's bring in local indie talent, you know, Joe Blow, who only goes to the gym like 2 hours a week, you know, that kind of guy. Like they didn't bring in three of those dudes. They brought in guys who looked like they could work, mm-hmm. and they got their asses kicked. So this was a good looking win for LFI, but it was afterwards where the magic happened, right? They continued the assault on these boys. Then Commander makes his way down to the ring, and I do got a nitpick here, right? Because Commander comes down to the ring and he starts getting a bit of a shine here, Iridian. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting here and I immediately got taken out because as he's doing moves on one guy, the other two are just standing there watching. And I'm like, will you three just whoop this dude's ass at the same time? Like, what are we doing here? I'm like, are we really about to have Commander come down after these boys just pissed off these other three badass looking dudes? And Commander's just going to take them all out one at a time. Thankfully, that didn't happen. Right? That wasn't exactly what happened. But I'm sitting here, I'm like no shade against Commander, but like that would have been some weird. That would have been some weird booking. Like I don't know. Like the whole Commander shine spot to me, I'm just like, it was driving me nuts. I'm like, will you hit this guy? Like the other two, just hit this dude and take him down.
Somebody do something.
Exactly. Don't just watch him kick your friends at. Like, would you do that in public? Like, if somebody just starts beating on your friend, you're just going to wait until it's your turn?
It's a gentleman's agreement.
I guess.
It was so funny because commentary was also mentioning, like, they're just standing there. And I'm like, we're just watching it happen, too. I was like, get in there. Somebody, there's two of you. Literally, you would have outnumbered them at that point. And they just went, one by one, let's all get our moment. And I'm like, no, guys.
I'll also say that those other guys could have, as a fan of someone who follows Brick Savage, he is such a good wrestler. I don't know if y'all remember that clip that was going around maybe 2 years ago of a wrestler picking up a guy by his ankles and throwing him. Yep. That was him. That was the guy. So I'm like, if you, Commander, and Hologram, and let me look at the names. I don't remember what those gentlemen's names were. What were their names again?
Aries Alexander, Jay Alexander, and Brick Savage.
Y'all could have jumped them. But alas, okay, maybe not the Alexander brothers because they were gone in a second, but you and Brick could have did something, and then eventually Hologram does come out. Yes. So I was sports confused by the, I'm just going to let you stand it, but maybe they knew he was going to get jumped anyway. We don't want to disrespect the Ring of Honor TV champion a little too much. We're going to disrespect you, but you know, gentleman's agreement.
Yeah. Right, sure. Yeah, maybe that was it. I don't know. Again, I'm just nitpicking because overall I didn't mind the segment whatsoever, because again, you had the three dudes who at least look like they were dudes. They get squashed, so LFI looks really, really strong. Commander comes out, he gets a little bit of a shine, but then Iridian, we get the big return. Finally, Hologram is back, and that boy hit the ring, and he was immediately cooking.
That was so good.
Did y'all notice that Hologram and Commander were dressed to match?
The same. I was like, this is the tag team we need.
And no, it's not, because Gravity is going to look at this match and be like, I'm leaving.
Unless he comes in, you know? Like,
I totally forgot about Gravity's a real wrestler. I was talking about the force of nature, Gravity.
Goodbye.
Oh, my God. That's
I don't know.
But you know what? I giggled a little because I'm like, oh, yes, this is the team. And I was like, Penta just left. They needed the Lucha tag team. So here we are. Now we got Hologram and Commander. And I'm not mad at it because Hologram came in looking amazing in the ring. I honestly, when the screen came up and it was like fully upgraded, I was like, we're going to get a new look, a new mask, a new fit. Let's do it. And then he came out looking the same. And
I was like, oh. Stop. 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 I thought the same thing.
It was a software thing? Update, not a hardware.
The software is the same. It's Windows 97 in a Windows 99 guts, okay?
I was like, not a single rhinestone, not a little bit of fringe, nothing.
Rey Mysterio would have had a new mask.
Rey Mysterio would have had a new mask. We would have had some smoke somewhere, a little entrance, but he came into the ring and the moves were just incredible. They had the lights dimmed a little bit, so everything that was going on, it looked so quick and so cool. I was like, man, this is amazing. I'm so glad that we got to see him back. At least the in work in the ring was good, because I need to talk to somebody backstage about the gear. Maybe I just need to talk to Hologram about the gear.
Whose gear?
I'm sorry.
A Hologram.
Not Pile Driver saying he got reset back to default.
It took away all the nerves, because honestly, I don't know if that was a Spanish fly or whatever he was doing. That man's feet touched the ground twice. Yeah. And he was in the ring for 10 minutes. His feet touched the ground twice.
Hey, shout out to Mortos, though. That guy is a hell of a bass.
Honestly, like
those two cooked when Hologram first burst onto the scene.
Worked. And honestly, La Facción Ingobernable, when they came out, their look was so incredible. I could see their entrance time and time again. Like that, I love it.
That's a faction. Yep. That's a faction.
And I believe it. Death Riders, why don't you go after them, huh?
You don't want none. You don't want none.
They don't want that smoke. Not at all.
What you gonna do against Rouge? What? Be for real. Be for real. He's gonna eat Pac. I love Pac to death, but he's gonna eat him.
Well, if there's one thing, Roose was pissed tonight. Hologram and Commander chased off Mortos and Drilistico, and then Roose was so mad he decked a ref before he stormed out. So
insane. That was crazy. The fine he's about to, where's Christopher Daniels? That's $100,000.
$100,000. He's getting a text from Brian Danielson as we speak.
Bro, because it wasn't even like it was an accident. You said not. And then you leaned, he put some steak on it. That ref ain't do nothing but his job.
That was crazy.
He put...
All right. We had a little bit of foreshadowing backstage. We had Megan Bain run into Thunder Rosa and didn't say a damn word to the AEW women, former AEW women's champion. So we will... We'll revisit that later, but it is finally time for, in my opinion, the segment of the night. It was halftime Harley Cameron in Houston tonight. She was complete with Puppet Mercedes out there in her little backpack, and she was going right into a rendition of Money Train, ladies, and then was immediately interrupted by the real Mercedes Moné, who once again called Harley Cameron nothing more than a loser, except Harley cuts her off and screams legend, which I thought was a nice little start for Harley here. And she immediately jumps back into another song. I took so many different notes on this one. The song itself, the only thing I really remember about it was Harley teasing she was going to drop a certain C word, Iridian, and then just, you know,
I saw it coming a mile away.
Because that's a word that they use with impunity over on the other side of the world here. And I'm just like, what is she going to transition it into? And this is one of the things that I talked to her about. I was like, you know, you're this thing where you elongate certain words to make it sound like something dirty is coming, and then you completely transition to something else. It sends me for a loop every single time. And I believe she said she called Mercedes a cunning opponent instead. 10 out of 10, loved it. She's spectacular. And the second, when we had our conversation earlier this week, again, you can check that out on my X page right now. It's up there. My pin post right now, my conversation with Harley for Sports Illustrated. We talked about her influences in music, and anybody who's a Tenacious D fan, right? She said she always grew up loving Jack Black and his music, and now I can't unhear it. Like I hear Tenacious D and I see and I feel the influence in her cadence and her delivery and everything she does. Like I can hear Jack Black doing the songs that she's doing in the ring. I loved the opening portion of this Iridium. We'll kind of break it down a segment at a time here, but I loved the second song as well. My only gripe, and maybe this is something only I noticed as a former strings player, I don't think the guitar was in tune, but other than that, absolutely no notes on this one. This one was spectacular to open up.
I agree with you. I think this was the segment of the night. The Harley halftime show, we need more of it. This needs to be absolutely a yearly thing. My gripe is with the man in the audience directly behind Harley in the shots, who was on the phone the whole time.
Get her, Jade. I saw that. Get her.
I was like, sir, we are at the halftime show. What could be more important than this moment right now? How dare you disrespect Harley like this? And if you need the picture, it's up on my X. So go check that out, because I took a picture and I put it up there. I was like, what are you doing, sir? There's nothing more important than what's going on right now. But
I was gonna say, I didn't even see this dude, because like I was just fully entrenched in what was going on.
Harley had two guitars in there, and I cackled when she's like, and I got puppet Mercedes. And then she flips over and the little wig is coming out of the puppet, which I do believe that's the puppet she usually does ventriloquism with. And it's a guy named Merle. That's the puppet's name. And she just put a wig on him. So
it's
literally
brilliant.
Genius. So I'm here for it. The puppet has me gagged. There's nothing else I can say. I think Harley is so good. I honestly think she might take the belt off of Mercedes.
We'll get to that conversation here in a second.
I truly do. Amazing segment. And I'm glad that Harley is really getting her chance to shine, because she is taking her time and making the most of it. And every time you see her, you're excited to see Harley on the screen.
Yeah, the crowd, Cresta, was absolutely behind her tonight. They were chanting Harley, singing along with her songs, everything. After the songs were over, which the songs were always spectacular from Harley, right? But it was the promo exchange between these two. After Mercedes cut her off for a second time, she ran down Cameron again, claimed that the puppet on Harley's back could wrestle better than she could.
It's disrespectful.
Which was a great line, I thought. And then, you know, we see the acting chops. And I don't know how much of it was...
O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Acting or genuine, or both, whatever it is, the fact that I couldn't tell, props to Harley. But she kind of was like breaking down, like she let her guard down a little bit and said, like, you know, you're right, you know, you're a hell of a lot better than me, right? Like, I'm still new to this. I could only ever dream of accomplishing what you have done in your career, but I have busted my ass to get to this point right now, and I am not stopping. Harley then called her a game changer, and I'm paraphrasing here. She said, but for, you know, all of her titles and her accolades and all of this stuff, the most entertaining that Mercedes has ever been is when Harley had her hand up her puppet ass and was doing the talking for her. God damn, that was so good, Cresta.
I have to tell you, Harley Cameron, if you ever see this, you are talented beyond anything you touch. You are going to be a star.
You go, it ain't just me telling you that. It ain't just me.
I mean, her opening note, she hit us with the Christina Aguilera. I was like, okay, all right, ma'am. Okay, we don't need a wrestling show. I was so happy for her. She ain't winning. She ain't winning. But also, I have to agree with Mercedes here. Harley, I'm glad you're improving. You're fantastic. But you won like three matches, girl. Please don't. Thunder Rosa got more of a claim.
Okay, this is what I'm.
It's my opinion.
This is where I'm
one, by the way, on AEW programming. One.
She could pull a fast one on her. That's what I'm thinking. Mercedes might be thinking this is all going to be fun and games. This is going to be an easy thing for her. She might slip up, and here comes Harley, and boom.
I think not yet. I do see a world, a program where Harley does take the TBS title off of her. Oh, and mm-hmm. it'll be such a beloved moment because Harley's having such a moment right now. And I would aken it to the very beginning of Joe Hendry because I said the same thing. This is very entertaining. You're so charismatic. I live for this. I don't see Harley cheating. She's done with that Saraya cheating stuff. Mm-hmm. I think she goes legit. And when you eventually do win the title off of her, oh, you're going to be a star because the girl that beats you for it, they're going to hate her to the death. To the death.
To the death.
I'm not even kidding. It's going to be such a feel-good moment because she's going to lose in her hometown. And people are like, damn, that's crazy. And when she does win it, beat Sasha in Boston. Who's Sasha? Oh. Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? I'm sorry. Mercedes? Beat Mercedes in Boston? That would be such a key. But like if you have, let's say, Megan Bain, we would hate her to the death if Megan's going to be a heel that you beat Harley Cameron after finally beating Mercedes.
Crazy.
Sorry, I don't know who that Sasha woman is. My apologies.
I was gonna say you're gonna end up in Money Magazine doing that shit. You keep calling her Sasha,
bro. I'm gonna see our House of Glory and come that guy's next Saturday with a black eye.
the puppet ass line did get a right hook from Mercedes, and then Harley just immediately fired right back. She screams, "Feel the wrath!" She decks her with the microphone. The crowd is loving it. Mercedes finally dumps out to the outside and just like, you know what? Fine. F this. Your whole invasion of Panama angle of trying to just annoy me into the factor I surrender and finally give you a title match. It worked. All right. I'm going to whoop your ass. I'm going to embarrass you in front of all your friends and family. I will say this much about Harley's prospects of winning that matchup. First off, I will say, why the hell not? Secondly, who else is of the hometown people are actually going to win in Australia?
Kyle Fletcher, what?
You think they're beating the Omega Powers?
Don Callis ain't cheating with all 50 members of the family? Come
Buddy?
On, there's a new bloodline. There's a new bloodline.
Okay. Let me say this.
Buddy more. Could win.
I don't know about that. We'll get to Buddy and Okada here in a second. But if you actually want to have a moment where you can have. You know, Harley grew up literally like 30 minutes from that stadium where they're going to be. She lived and worked 30 minutes down the road. All of her friends, all of her family, everybody's going to be there. Biggest moment of her career, biggest match for her career against one of the top stars in the world. Just getting the match is great. You can make a moment, right? This is the things we talk about in WWE all the time. Like they make moments. What comes next after that? I don't know. She could drop it to Megan Bain, or she could drop it back to Mercedes, but I feel like...
Or Julia.
Or whatever. Like, I feel like she has kind of... Mercedes kind of hit her peak with the TBS championship and needs to bump up to the next level. So why not make somebody in their hometown and make a moment and give Harley that chance to shine and give her the ult? And here's the other thing. You put the belt on Harley... Then Saraya comes back and Saraya's like, I left and you were here. Now you're here. Now there's an interesting dynamic between those two and you can True. Set things off.
She can
there.
Beat her up.
Yeah. So this is my thing. You gave it to Saraya at Wembley. You can do this for Harley. Come on. Like,
I mean, you guys give good arguments. I was like, well, she didn't win nothing. Y'all were like, why not? And I was like, you know what? That's fair.
Why not?
Why not?
I need to go into the WWE comparisons too, but I mean, you had the whole I can't remember what Kurt Hawkins situation, right? Where he lost like whatever, however many matches in a row, and then boom, he wins tag titles at WrestleMania. Like, you can, they've made this whole story surrounding the fact that she hasn't had any big wins. So give her first big win on a grand stage in front of her home.
This is one of my favorite feuds that Mercedes has had in AEW. This is one of substance. This is one of comedy. This is one where you're like, man, Mercedes just lighten up a little bit. Like, damn, it's Harley, you know? And I'm very, very invested in not only Harley, but also Mercedes, which I was having a hard time when she came into AEW to get invested into the CEO. And now I'm like, okay, we're getting somewhere. I like where this is going. And Mercedes doesn't need that title, honestly. She's got three more.
Yeah.
No, you're not wrong.
And somebody brought it up in the chat, right? brought up the fact that you could put the belt on Harley, give her that big win. She doesn't have to go on. She's still a rookie, right? Like, she doesn't have to go on this big lengthy run. A month later, she could drop it to somebody like Deanna and pick right back up with that program that she was doing with the Vendetta. And then all of a sudden, boom, you give Harley a chance to shine. You give her some credibility, right? And then they go on this program and you can let Deanna Purrazzo shine and have a moment with the absolutely championship as well. So, I mean, you can accomplish more than one thing. But just going off the ones, I feel like you've got a chance to do lightning in a bottle here with,
I agree,
with Harley.
All I'm saying is I'm going to be pissed off if Harley doesn't win, and I'm going to come into the collision show like this.
I think you're about to be pissed off. I'm going to be real with you.
I mean, when are we not pissed off, though? Let's be honest. We had Alexander Fitzgerald says, can we start a petition to replace Kendrick Lamar with Harley for the Super Bowl halftime show?
I don't believe Joe Hendry shows up as well.
Yes.
Oh, God. That would be amazing. No. We got... Alan saying Harley Cameron's segment is where the best wrestle, 10 out of 10, no notes. Appreciate the super chats. Keep getting the Humper chats in as well. We did have somebody else. A lot of people in the chat saying, look, all Harley needs is 3 seconds. By the way, the other reason why this is perfect. Does anybody know what Harley's finisher is? If you watch Ring of Honor, do you know what her finisher is? Because she's only won one match on AEW programming, right? And she won that with a cradle. Does anybody know what her finisher is? It's a backstabber.
I feel like that's in Mercedes' repertoire.
Oh, I feel like Mercedes got a backstabber in her. That was...
I'm just saying.
Man, the story's there.
I'm just saying. Everything fits. Everything fits.
Y'all have sold me. I agree with this. I think you sold me. No, I agree. Because it still fits with my French vanilla fantasy of you make a star out of Harley Cameron. And the next girl, we're going to hate you. And even if it's Deanna, I can never hate Deanna. I'm a Deanna apologist. Sorry about that. But like, wow, you're a heel. You really took it off. You beat up Harley Cameron. Wow, you're a bully. You beat this girl up. Let her have her moment. Stop it. But I can absolutely see Deanna doing that. I could see Penelope Ford, who's been full of piss and vinegar, doing that. Like you said, Julia Hart, like, all right, we're not doing this. Get out of here, little girl. You're going to wrestle. Now you're going to really wrestle. Stop playing with me. I can see it. I like it. And the songs about Julia Hart from Harley Cameron.
there's a lot.
She's going to have a Julia puppet, and the Julia puppet's going to have a little hat on it.
She's going to paint her face like Darby Allin and troll her.
Okay. If she's going to do the Julia puppet, right, she has to have like a little bow and arrow that's like taped to the hand. Right?
Goodbye. She's going to have the fingernails. Oh, my God.
And then she has to have a Jamie Hayter puppet. We booked her next 3 months.
We did it. Tony, there you go. For free. $3.99.
We got it. We had Buddy Matthews and Kazuchika Okada backstage meeting face to face. I love the fact that Okada did not take this meeting seriously whatsoever. He shows up late. He's asking for a bottle of water. He's barely paying attention to what Buddy Matthews has to say. And Buddy is basically like, look, I'm not falling for this phony BS comedic facade that you got going on right here. And he's trying to present this as, you know, a true clash, the best in Australia, the best in Japan. Like, let's go. Man, oh man, we are going to throw down and we are going to, you know, put on a show, and I'm going to give you everything that I got, and I'm going to take that title off of you. Do you believe that I believe what I'm saying? And then Okada just laughs at his damn face, calls him a bitch, and Buddy balls up his fist and he got that man to flinch. The nuances in Okada's performance in this was very, very good. I continued to be impressed with him coming over Iridian and having his being able to perform on American television the way that he's doing it, with the subtleties and with the nuances. Like I said, he has been doing very, very well.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like we've been waiting for Buddy to kind of have his moment, you know, in the House of Black. I guess it's hard being in a faction, right? Because everyone in the faction has to get their moments, and it's tougher to get more of those when you're in a group. So Buddy right now is really doing his best work, the most that we've seen him do right now in AEW. And to have a match with Okada, that's insane. I know that's just going to be such a good match. That's going to be a five-star yeah. match, guys. It's going to be so good. But man, I feel like a lot of us have been waiting for Buddy to kind of be a star, and he's getting pushed in that direction. I absolutely love it. This whole Okada coming in there being super late, I was like, sir, what are you doing? Unprofessional, sir. You should know better. And then he was like looking at the guy putting on his mic. He was giving them like a weird look. I was like, oh my God, you're not prepared. You're not ready. What is going on? This really sold me on this match, this segment with them and Lexi in the middle. I thought it was great.
To me, Cresta, this was Okada playing mind games. Like, this is him playing it off as nonchalant. I don't need to take you seriously. And I don't take you seriously. But then when Buddy balls up his fist and he cowers like a little bitch, that said a lot. That he showed how he truly feels in the situation to me. That's how I read this whole situation playing out.
That's how I read it as well. I'm like, Okada, you're playing it very nonchalant. Like, I'm the best. I'm Okada. But it's been a while in kayfabe since you've been really challenged. And Buddy now in the Hounds of Hell is super hungry, super thirsty. And I honestly truly believe because Okada refuses to respect him, he would genuinely lose that title this Wednesday. I genuinely believe that. I think that there is, well, not this Wednesday, whenever a Grand Slam is, I think it's next Wednesday, not this one coming up, but like he's, because you're not taking him seriously, of all the titles to change hands, that's the one I have my money on, because he's gonna flex you. He's gonna flex you like paper mache, and you're gonna be very upset when it happens. And then when it happens, we're gonna get the Okada we know from New Japan back. We're going to get the Rainmaker back, because you already don't respect this man. So how do I lose to somebody I don't respect? That's insane. Maybe I'm bitch. Maybe I am the bitch.
Alexander brings up a good point. It's funny how both Okada and Mercedes aren't taking their opponents seriously. Maybe there is an upset in one of those matches. I would like to see it. Buddy Matthews to me is one of these guys that has just consistently been one of the best in-ring performers for years, but hasn't really had the opportunity to showcase himself or shine. And, you know, if he doesn't win this match, maybe at least hopefully it can finally start to build something here. Gotta pause for a quick second. We got to talk to our buddy Sean.
We've been telling you guys about Blue Chew for years, and we ain't stopping anytime soon. That confidence, that performance, that edge that you're going to get in the bedroom and mentally when you check out BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. First shipment free. Yes, shipment. That's because you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy, have any awkward conversations with doctors. You're questioned online, and if approved, this ships straight to your door. It excludes all the awkwardness. Now listen, so will that confidence. That's going to get rid of a lot of that awkwardness as well. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You know it's going to work. They know it's going to work. And that's why they're willing to give you that first shipment free at BlueChew.com when you use that code FIGHTFUL. Take control. Handle your business. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Handle your business. Get those super chats in. Get those humper chats in. We'll make sure to read every single one of them before we get off the air tonight. Let's try to pick up the pace here a little bit, though, ladies. Somehow we have already hit an hour on the air.
Malarkey. You always Jesus. Do this. We're going to be fast. That means an hour.
Dustin Rhodes squashed Izzy James in literally seconds. I don't even know why they had the match, to be honest with you. They literally could have just, Iridian, had Dustin Rhodes come out and cut his in-ring promo, which I thought was really, really good. He had some great lines. Texas-sized ass whooping. He's promising to drag MJF to hell on Wednesday so he can meet the actual devil. Dustin Rhodes can still wrestle. He can still cut a promo. I'm cool with this match on Wednesday. I don't know if we needed to kill Mr. Izzy in like 3 seconds, though.
Absolutely not. We did not need this match for that promo. It didn't add anything. He could have just came out in his regular gear, in a suit. Doesn't matter. Just come out, cut the promo. I got the gist, and I'm ready for that match. I don't think we needed this squash match. On Collision, we could have got more Harley.
I know why we had this match. If I'm looking at my notes correctly, We had Megan Bain talking, Harley Halftime talking, face to face with Okada talking. And if he didn't wrestle, it'd be Dustin Rhodes talking. And yeah, you had to do something. You had to do something.
Hey, at least Mr. James got a paycheck tonight, right? So we can be happy for that. So, hey, good on you, Hoss. You got your ass kicked well. Good for you. Thunder Rosa and Penelope Ford. I had some issues with a migraine earlier, so I missed most of this. But Iridia, what did you think? I look like they gave Penelope a chance to shine a little bit here against Thunder Rosa.
It was a fantastic match. You guys know I'm a fan of Penelope. I absolutely love her. We need to get Tony Khan on the phone, because what happened to the lyrics in her theme song? She used to have lyrics to Super Bad Girl, and it was just music. I was like, wait a minute, where are the words? we didn't have any. So that's the only thing. That's the only problem that I had tonight. But Penelope is such a great athlete, and I've just been waiting for her to fully get a good run. And I feel like now she's going to get that. I honestly hope that 2025 is the year that the women in AEW are really shining, that we do get Deonna Purrazzo, that we do get Penelope, that we do get Thunder Rosa. Like, all of these women are amazing. Anna Jay, just give me yes, Willow. Like, come on.
I can't see when she comes back.
Yep. It's going to be so good. I'm hopeful for the women's division this year. But this match was fantastic. I think if you want to watch something from tonight, and you know, this is definitely has to be one of the three moments that you watch this match.
Yeah. And for me, honestly, like we talked about all these ladies, we haven't even talked about the two who are at the top right now, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But also Megan Bain's a player. Like, she is an absolute player. Like, no joke, the size, the strength of this. She is just very, very impressive. I got up close look at her re-debut into AEW at Maximum Carnage when she showed up in the Casino Gauntlet match. She is very, very good. And I love, like, the no-nonsense presentation of her. She didn't have to say anything to Thunder Rosa tonight. And then she dropped her with the Fate Five. I love the fact that she uses the F5 as her finisher. It's just perfect for her. She, again, I said this a million times tonight, 10 out of 10, no notes as far as Megan Bain's presentation thus far.
Big, meaty women. Slap. You want, I'm so simple. I like to get gout, and that woman's going to give me gout. First of all, the match between Thunder Rosa and Penelope Ford was fantastic. There was one point during the picture-in-picture where Thunder Rosa had Penelope Ford in this stretch, and it looked disgusting. And Penelope's face was just looked like, mama, get me up out of here. But I really do think that the meat of this was the post-match. Megan Bain is somebody who, in my opinion, could beat Thunder Rosa, and Thunder Rosa wouldn't lose anything for it. And that's a big David and Goliath sort of situation. And Thunder Rosa's a big, not a big person, but like, she's a big wrestler, big personality, the big moves. She's fantastic. I love Megan Bain's presentation. I'm looking forward to her versus Statlander, her versus Hayter, her versus Willow, her versus Aminata. And I think, to double back on what Iridian said, if this is the year of the women, look at how Athena has been carrying the flag for Ring of Honor.
Oh my God.
Do it here. But if Athena comes here, Athena needs to be your world champion. I don't care. And that's the same problem you have with Mercedes. You take the TBS championship off of her. Sorry, Toni Storm. That needs to be your world champion. I do not care. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
If it's not Athena versus Mercedes at All In Texas, what are we doing?
It's time to slap somebody. I'm going to throw my notebook because you're so right. You're so right. It should have been like that for 9,000 years ago, but yet. I'm sorry.
By the way, there was one thing that you said. Megan Bain and Chris Statlander could feed families. Like that matchup. Like,
solve world hunger.
I want it now. Right fucking now. Like, I want it.
I just have to point out in chat, someone said Athena versus Mox. And I'm like, yo, Athena would win that. That's not even fair.
Athena alone could dismantle the Death Riders.
Can you imagine Athena?
All she got to do is just bring the minions to the fight with her. They'll take out the Death Riders. No problems.
Her and Eddie Kingston in a staple together. I just put the tag champ, put every championship on them.
I don't know if it's because I got a splitting headache, but everything you guys are saying makes sense. I think we've come up with some creative gold tonight, and you know, Tony Khan and company should be taking notes. Like,
we've confused Rick. It's worked.
It's working.
I was really confused with this burger backstage site. Am I like?
I forgot.
I had
about
no idea
that.
Who that dude was. I don't know what Thrill Burgers is or Trill Burgers is. I'm glad the commentary said he's a good friend of Swerve. Great, love it. I love Ricochet taking a bite, dropping the tasty burger line, which immediately made me think of Pulp Fiction. So I'm hoping that's what he was going for.
Burger.
Yeah, this is a tasty burger. It wasn't, apparently, because he spit it back out. The disrespect. I loved it. And then he assaults one of the workers at the table just for saying it. Everybody else liked it. This version of Ricochet is so corny. It is so over the top. But he's also the most violent, the most vicious, and the biggest prick. That he's shown more personality since coming to AEW. And the fact that, you know, if you look at the two companies, you come in, like Ricochet coming into AEW, you would think, oh, it's a perfect fit. He'll come in there, he'll have these five-star banger matches, which he is, but he'll just be allowed to be Ricochet. He'll be fine. And he's doing the best character work he's ever done in the non-entertainment company, right? It's weird how that's working, but it's working, Iridian. This is the most I've been invested in as far as a Ricochet character in his entire career.
Again, same thing. He's doing the same thing that's Max Caster, right? It's a little cringy. It's a little corny. It's working. You know, it's giving the kid who was not invited to the playground but shows up anyway and is like, well, mom told me I could be here. And all the kids are like, oh, here we go.
Who invited Trevor? Who invited him?
here comes Trevor to play. And it's like, oh my God, now we got to deal with this guy. But honestly, it works. I was so upset that they were fighting in front of the burgers. I was like, not the food. Please fight somewhere else. But I was like, the burgers are going to fly everywhere. But I believe it, and it works. And this has gotten a lot of people invested into Ricochet because we've always known he's a fantastic wrestler. He's phenomenal. Yes. He gets in the ring and does the craziest things that you would not believe. And the only thing that was missing was him kind of having a strong character that people could connect to. Mind you, I don't know if they're connecting well with the character that he's going on right now, but it's working because they're not liking him.
Right. They love to hit him. That's
yes.
Reaction. Right. Yeah. Like it. He was a baby face in WWE, and the material they gave him to work with clearly was not something he felt strong about or wasn't able to present in a great way. And he was a baby face, and people were like, please don't ever give him a microphone again. Like, those were the reactions that we were getting from Cresta. He is showing here. Finally, he is able to show. Yeah, no, I can do this. I have a personality, but like, you know, you just, let me find something that I can excel at. And he's excelling with this material, this character right now.
I will say that Ricochet and Dominic Mysterio are a masterclass into lean into the corn. You think I'm corny? I'm going to be on the cob then. I don't care. You put some butter on me. I don't care. I do not care. And it's whether you hate to love him, I'm sports invested. Bro, Bun B is a certified hood classic. Did I listen to Hood Bun B? No, I was raised 7-day Adventist. My mom would not let me listen to rap music as a kid. That being said, like, even I know who this guy is. And for you to disrespect him like that, Ricochet, was fantastic. Also, him yelling for security at the end, because I was wondering the same thing. Why y'all let this bald man assault this non-wrestler guy in a non-wrestler role? But I digress, like Taz. I think this is fantastic. I love this for Ricochet. I think that if you can find a way to lean into the booze, you'll always be fine. Because eventually, we're going to feel bad for Ricochet because he's going to get beat. Like, Swerve is going to murder him.
Yeah. No, but I was really happy to see Ricochet get that win on Wednesday for sure. But, man, I can't help but think. You say, you said something about corn, and now I'm just like, the master.
Corn on the cob?
Right. Well, now I'm thinking of like, we need a shirt, right? We need a shirt with like three ears of corn that have like character faces of Dominic and Max Caster and Ricochet, and just call them Children of the Corn. And you know,
and then like, the cob is Don Callis. I got you. Yeah. I got you. Because those are all his corny children. All three of those is corny children. Because he's the king of the corn. I love Don Callis, but he's
You could sell those out at an Iowa house show in minutes.
If anyone steals my idea, I want 44%. Okay. Don't. Okay. It's our idea.
For two out of those three, their faces are just going to be the kernel. And it's just, it's just going to make sense because they're bald.
Well, and then so with Dom, you can have like the little strings that come around, you know, out of the
not corn. You saying the corn silk is Dom's hair or the mustache. The mustache.
It's stuck in the kernels. You know, somehow it gets stuck when you shuck. We are going way into depth now. We are shucking corn at 11:25 on a Saturday night. The show has completely gone off the rails. We had two LT photos say, I'm so happy Rick got dropped into this perfectly. I'm assuming you're meaning Ricochet, not me. He's landed in a really, really good spot. I'm happy for him as well. Our second best segment of the night for me, because I thought Harley and Mercedes killed it. No shade thrown here. We had Mariah May and Toni Storm in the same ring tonight. And this started with another squash match, but at least unlike the one with Dustin Rhodes, I felt like this one served a purpose. Mariah May facing Shay Carmichael tonight, who was dressed up, had the blonde hair, looked a little bit like Toni Storm, right? And so there was a purpose to have her in the ring. Mariah doesn't even wait for the damn bell to ring. She just gives this woman a shotgun drop kick. The bell rings. She hits a Mayday. The match is over. She immediately then throws this black shawl on Carmichael and starts like covering her face up with the whole red lipstick to really kind of dress her up like Toni Storm. And before we can see where this was going to go, Arinian, we get Luther who comes back. So this was a night of returns, right? So we get Hologram earlier in the night. Now we're getting Luther who's back. He comes down. He's got a tray with a cloak on it. He pulls it off and it's the bloody shoe from the attack. Like, they are bringing back all the characters. They're bringing back all the props. Everything in this story, everything makes sense. Everything means something. Even the freaking shoe that bloodied Toni Storm, right? And Mariah just spits in his face. She turns around to continue her whatever she's doing with Carmichael. She picks her up, and Toni Storm has pulled the switch, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. And the look that Toni gave Mariah, and then Mariah looked like she had just seen a ghost up close. And then the fight was on at that point. I thought this whole entire, from Mariah to Toni to Luther to the camera work, the production team, I thought everybody played their parts perfectly. I thought this was very well executed.
This was an excellent segment. I was so confused. I loved it because I was looking.
That's not a ringing endorsement. I was so confused. I loved it.
Confusion, baby.
I was so confused. Literally, we got sports entertained and sports confused. I was sports confused on this one. I was like, why is Toni Storm in the ring? And then they say, no, it wasn't Toni. It was Shay. And I was like, Shay? Who is Shay? I was like, what is going on? And the commentary is talking about how, you know, maybe the you know, Mariah dressed her up like this to look like Toni. And I was like, this is insane. I don't know what's going on. And it was a really quick match. Luther comes out with the shoe, which was phenomenal because I gasped. I'm like, not the shoe. Oh, my goodness.
Always watch out for the shoe.
Always watch out for the shoe. And the camera pans back and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's going to attack Shay with the shoe. It's going to be like what she did to Toni all over again. And Shay was not in there. It was Miss Toni herself. I was like, oh my God, it just kept getting better.
It kept getting better.
Better. And I couldn't, I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I am just so thankful that this story paid off. Like, that it really worked out, that they found their way back to what it was in the beginning. And I absolutely love it. I thought this was just such an entertaining segment of the night. And we need more. We need more. I need more sports confusion.
Yeah, I love that this has evolved now into Toni literally acting and playing different roles. Like, her portrayal of Mariah on Wednesday was spectacular. And then, you know, the bait and switch that she did with Luther, the trap that she lays tonight, takes out Mariah with the headbutt and then almost gives her a storm zero on the steel ring steps before she slips away. And then Luther like lifts her up and puts her up on his shoulders and she's waving to the crowd like, oh, by the way, I'm an idiot. Yeah, Tony's winning at Grand Slam. So there's your hometown person who's winning a championship. I would like to see both Tony and Harley. I forget that she was born in New Zealand, but she lived most of her life in Australia. So I kind of forget that this is a hometown for her. So that was total slip up on my part. But I think she's going to beat Mariah on Saturday. I'd be stunned if she doesn't, the way this story is progressing. But this was really, really well done tonight. Krista, what'd you think?
No, I agree with you and Iridian. This segment just kept getting better. I went to the bathroom. I missed the whole match. But when Luther came out, all
that was
I
a quick was trip to the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, right before the commercial, right when I came back, she was sitting on top of the girl getting the pin. I was like, well, you know, hey, it didn't matter. When Luther came out, all I heard was Kendrick Lamar. Luther! I was excited because I knew Tony was not too far behind. But I was concerned with the shoe. Glad Tony Storm is back. I love this. Tony Storm is giving me, remember when Undertaker got lost in the gimmick? And I'm not mad. I'm not mad. But Tony, if we talk about character work, is that Tony Storm anymore? Or is she just the ghost of wrestling? Like, I'm here for it. But like, Tony Storm, it's scary. It's scary good, but it's scary, Tony. I live. But are you okay? Blink twice.
She lives this, man. They're like... I saw it firsthand. Because after... She won the Casino Gauntlet match, right, in Cincinnati, Maximum Carnage. I talked to her immediately after that match, and it was at that point anyway. God, I can only imagine that conversation talking to Timeless Toni Storm, but it was rookie Toni Storm that I was talking about. She's sitting there, we're backstage, and she's talking about, I can't wait to call my mom and tell her that I won, and she's finally going to get to make me ring gear. And was fully entrenched in this. It was, and I was fine. I'll commit to the bit every once in a while. I have no problems with that. And it was a fun satirical article to write for SI. But, I'll play into it. But, yeah, no, she is fully in. She's very, very old school in what she is doing. If she is out in public, she is playing that character. She is all the way in. And you don't see it a whole lot anymore because, look, the curtain's been pulled back at this point. Like, hell, the curtain isn't even hung up anymore as far as what pro wrestling is. You have Triple H out here, you know, in press conferences saying, like, we're not trying to hide what we do. Like, everybody knows we're a TV show now at this point, right? So it's like, but to still see some people committed to it and sticking to it the level that she is, her broken Matt Hardy, right? There are very few characters who do it like 24/7, and I would like to see the people who she turns it off for. Like, where's the line? I would love to know where the line is. But no, she's great. I'm looking forward to this match next Saturday night. Backstage, we see Lance Archer, who Tony Schiavone accidentally called Lance Storm. Laughed at that one. Brian Cage and Mark Davis, they're just beating the crap out of the people backstage. Apparently, this was a test for Davis to see if he'd be willing to get his hands dirty as a member of the Don Callis family. Lance Archer says everybody dies. Great. Honestly, we see this pretty much every collision that Lance Archer is on. Let's talk about the main event tonight, shall we? Kyle Fletcher defeats Mark Briscoe. This was a really, really good match that I thought was over three times before it actually finished. Mm-hmm. It took everything that Kyle Fletcher had to put Mark Briscoe down. He got busted open in this. I thought he was done after the low blow and the teardrop brain buster. He kicks out at two. Thought he was done after the three straight snap suplexes. He's able to get out of that, drop an elbow on Fletcher through the table on the outside, which was a great spot. Then he hits another one in the ring. Kyle kicks out. Briscoe then attempts a J-driller from the top rope. Fletcher slips out. Gives Mark a brain buster on top of the turnbuckle, which looked absolutely gnarly. And that's what ended up finishing this match off. This was just a really, really fun main event. Mark Briscoe can go. Kyle Fletcher is one of the bright young guys. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going with this anymore. My
no, when,
me, but it when, was it was good. Already.
When Kyle Fletcher was talking about, he said, "I am the future." You know, I just proved that win was a fluke that Mark got over me, and I was like, "I believe it, sir." After seeing that match, absolutely. Like, Kyle Fletcher has, you know, we give him his flowers here on the show. But truly, every time I see him in the ring, I'm like, this guy's fantastic.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
In 5 years, this guy's a world champion, maybe less than that. I truly believe that he is going to be the face of that of AEW sooner rather than later. But this match, as soon as Mark Briscoe started bleeding, I said, here we go. Here we go. Call it. Like, I can't. It started too quick. Mark Briscoe was just like literally bleeding from his face. I'm like, oh my God, I was not ready for that. I honestly thought the match was going to end after that table spot. I'm like, there's no way. There is no way that Mark Briscoe kicks out of that. And he did.
There was a way, as it turned out.
There was a way. There was a way. Man, it's just that Kyle, sorry, because Kyle was the one that was put through that table. And then Kyle immediately on his back, if you notice, the line started to form. And I'm like, they're just going to have so many scars tomorrow. Like, I know they're just going to be in pain. But man, what a main event, because I think the 9 o'clock hit and I'm like, well, they're still going? Like, are we overtime? Like, what's happening right now?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, the Max, like, I don't know if it's every week, because I watched on Max this week. Usually I watch on TNT. But it said, like, no, it's going to end at 10:20. I'm like, we got a 20-minute overrun?
Oh,
the hell is this? I'm like, oh, we just gonna keep going, and then it was over 2 minutes later, and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe they just do that every week. I don't know.
They lied.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a great promo after the match too, Kristen.
This match, I have to give Mark Briscoe his flowers. I love him wrestling. He has so much heart. The blood, I could. But I mean, honestly, he tried to do the Dre Driller with blood literally squirting out of his head. While that is, I'm sports disgusted, that is such, to me, art. Because no matter how bad it is, you're still trying to get your move off. And it's your brother's move. I was sports entertained, but also sports thoroughly disgusted. I gotta give Kyle Fletcher his flowers again, too. Because for someone who said, I don't want to be the next Will Ospreay, I'm not Will Ospreay, it's giving, if Leave Britney Alone really went on her heel run and terrorized the whole music industry and I lived through it. He's giving it to you. He's the type of person that'll be so demented in his heel run as champion, he'll turn MJF legit babyface. He'll beat him up so bad. And that's, I love that
crazy
for him.
That's like,
you could see it though. You could see Kyle Fletcher, MJF doing his whole run down your family, your mom, da 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 da. And then MJF, Kyle Fletcher beat him to a bloody pulp. Where you're like, damn, yo, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I know he's a jerk, but like, yo.
All right, he's been dead for 5 minutes. Stop.
Exactly. Yeah. I can totally see that. I'm so happy for it. I don't like Proto Star. I do, but that's my only complaint. This match, it was fantastic. This match should have ended 3 times. I saw these men die 4 times, Mark Briscoe 7, but this match was fantastic. The end promo, like he said, I am the future. It wasn't a fluke, but I don't know. So I don't know who's going to beat him. Who's going to beat him?
Kenny Omega.
Kota Ibushi.
A grand slam.
Dang, Kota. We have to bring him in.
Because I kind of see Kyle Fletcher and Konosuke winning a grand slam. Mm-hmm. Cheating. Someone's going to get cheated out their boots. So then what you going to do? I don't think Kenny and Ospreay are going to tag all the time. Bring back the Golden Lovers. Stop playing with me, Tony.
Give us what we want, Tony.
Give us what we want.
I don't see Kenny Omega losing. So it would Will Ospreay. Yeah, Will Ospreay's been beatable, right? He has been beatable. He's taken a few L's here or there, but
I say the cheating begins because it's Don Callis and he's going to protect.
You know there's going to be a screwdriver somewhere. I mean, like, I don't know if there's going to be prop bets for this show, but I will bet a decent amount of money that there's going to be a screwdriver that shows up on the screen.
I think it depends on what music Kenny comes out to. If he comes out to his old music, he's losing. The new music, he's winning.
Oh, and the hair. It also depends on the hair.
If he's got the roots touched up, then maybe. And same thing with Will, because Will be dying it blonde too.
Yep.
maybe it's just me because I'm not a gamer. I miss Kenny's old music. Like That song is a bop. That song is a bop. I'm not into the whole, you know, whatever it is. Anywho. I don't know what time we're going to be, because that Grand Slam's not going to air here till 10:30 next week. I believe
that's what time it starts.
Yes,
10:30 y'all time because y'all behind me.
No, I'm same as you. I'm same as you. East Coast.
We'll double check what that timing is.
Yeah, because it's coming on after the NBA All-Star festivities for Saturday.
Interessante. We'll have to chat about that. But before we do, we have a Humper chat. Saying colliders. This was an official statement made tonight. Brian Keith, boom. Megan Bain, boom. Kyle Fletcher, boom. Harley Cameron, boom. Caster, misfire. Tony Storm, boom. Ricochet, boom. Even Luther, reverse, boom. John Cruz, fizzle. I'm here for the graps.
He said all those people and all those booms and didn't do Adam Cole. Are you
and no big
me?
Justice? No you big justice the either. Layup.
You missed the layup. All right. Crazy. Sorry. Aridia, what you got going on where people can find your stuff?
Head over to my YouTube channel, Rest Friends, WREST Friends. We are posting a podcast tomorrow talking about the Royal Rumble, talking about Collision, literally everything that's been happening. There was some people that were let go this week. So we will be talking about that. But check out my channel. I got really cool stuff up there. And follow me on all social media on this handle right here. Caresta, where can our beautiful Fightful fans find you?
Hello, everybody. I am Cresta Starr. You can find me on Fightful every Thursday with Joel Perreault going over everything on TNA Impact. Every Saturday here with Rick and Iridian going over all things Collision AEW. And I'm doing my podcast for the first time because everyone's been punking me and I'm punking myself by saying it, but it'll be out tomorrow. My first episode, slap, grapple, pop. Please pull up with me and a lot to me. You can find me on all forms of social media at Cresta Starr, except for Twitter where it says Cresta the Star, which is somewhere above me. There's a link tree in my bio. I think I've said everything. And Rick, where can the people find you? Because I'm out of breath.
I like, what did you say? Accidentally? Escapade? I like that. I don't know why.
Escapade. I don't know.
Follow me on, I actually pointed at it correctly this time. Follow me on X here at Ricky Chino.
So funny, because for over here, you're over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you're showing the wrong way. Yeah.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah, no, you're up there. Yeah.
One time I actually do it right, I was wrong.
Other way, yeah.
Other way. Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah. Yeah, okay. Wow. All right. This whole time I thought I've been pointing wrong. I've been pointing right. And the one time I get it right, I'm wrong. Anyway, fuck it. Anyway, follow me there at that link, X, on the X app. That's the one-stop shop for all my stuff for the takedown on SI. Again, I talked to Harley Cameron earlier this week. I've recently chatted with Tiffany Stratton and Chelsea Green and Tony Storm. And there's a few others I'm forgetting. And I got a few more coming up down the pike. So check me out there. Give me a follow. That's the best place to find all of my stuff. Thank you guys so much. I'm going to go down an entire bottle of Advil and hopefully get some sleep and wake up in a non-headache like environment. We might be back next week. I don't know. I think we'd start at like 12:30.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Maybe. Who knows? Well, we'll see. We saw Luther tonight and we will hear Luther tomorrow. So Kendrick, we'll see ya.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.